Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm live now.
I'm gonna use a scary word for you guys.
What's the scary word?
Mystic.
I am one.
Oh, here. No, okay. It's just done.
Watch this.
All right, I'm gonna use scary words. Mystic and mysticism.
Okay. I am one.
You know what it really boils down to?
What?
What we talk about is our encounter with Papa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of describe some of mystics in history, it's modern mystics, and some of their writings, so you can kind of get an idea of what their encounters were like and what they describe. But basically, an encounter they describe as a conscious union with God. Yeah. So a lot of times we feel that we're separate from God. You know, He's up there, we're down here, He's looking down on us, we're separate beings. But actually in an encounter, a mystical mind, we actually get that union.
That's what I just read in Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's attacking that, right?
Right.
You're not thinking right.
So an encounter, a mystic, basically simply someone who goes from mere belief or in a system of belonging to an actual inner experience encounter with God.
Yeah.
And Jesus was the first one to demonstrate this, and He lived it. He's the first clear unity with Papa thinker.
Yeah! Did you just say unity with Papa thinker?
Thinker.
Oh, thinker!
Okay, I'm going to read something from a guy named Alan Watts. He's a British philosopher.
Yay.
He's pretty modern, from 1915 to 1973. So he put it this way. From the beginning, institutionalized Christianity has hardly contemplated the possibility that the consciousness of Jesus might be the consciousness of a Christian. That the whole point of the gospel is that everyone may experience union with God in the same way as Jesus himself.
Amen.
Amen.
And 2 Peter 1:4, I'm reading this from the Message, really states this. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God.
Where is that?
2 Peter 1:4.
Whoa.
Hey, read it again.
Yeah.
Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God. This is, in other translations, it's partakers of divine nature.
Mm-hmm.
Where He's given us everything that deals with, was it life and godliness, right? Is that how some of the other...
Yes.
Uh-huh. Some of the other ones, yeah.
Yeah.
This morning at Vineyard Church, my lady came up to me, and she gave me that exact verse.
Really?
And I kept from out. I wrote it down. If I write it down, then I remember it. And when you said that, that's the same one.
Okay.
She told me, read it. It's important.
Wow. Come on.
Yeah.
I
know. Yeah. Holy Spirit.
Right.
No, right?
Right. Interestingly enough, until we actually have an encounter, a mystical union with a spiritual experience, it's unfair to ask people to really be able to follow the higher ideals and teachings of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That is right.
Impossible.
Yeah, because they're looking at it as strictly.
It's
a,
just words.
It's a textbook logical system, and so there's no power in it. Mm-hmm. Because in these encounters, when you have the union with God, and you see Christ in you, you start seeing Christ in others.
Mm-hmm.
So then it makes sense then when He talks about forgiveness or loving your enemies, or nonviolence. Those are all other centered things. So you have to see your union with Christ and their union with Christ, that we're all connected. So this don't make sense. we can't, they're not really empowered for it. And then, of course, you got doctrines of like the Trinity and real presence and the indwelling of the Spirit. Mm. Until that union happens, they really have no power. Because then they just believe at a rational level.
Follow them.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not experience.
Not experience.
It's a cognitive.
Yeah, it's just a brain thing. Mm. So a person who has an encounter with God, a mysticism, they see things in wholeness, connection, union. It's an experiential knowing instead of an intellectual.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to read some of these mystics or people who encounter God.
Encounterers.
Yes. So Friar Carmelite Friar William Namroth. Okay, this is what he says. He writes, "The mystic is not a special kind of person. Each person is a special kind of mystic." In order for Christianity to survive, all Christians need to discover the mystical heartbeat that is already alive in the center of our tradition and our souls. Put another way, mysticism is not something we achieve, it is something we receive.
That's cool.
And Colossians 1:26 and 27 kind of confirms that. This is out of the Passion Translation. "There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now it's being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience.
Wow.
Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery is Christ, embedded within us, becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it."
Wow.
It's a stepping in, because he said, whoever knocks, open the door. So really, it's more of us, we need to step in,
yes.
Open the door and step in, because it's already there.
Colossians.
We're glory bombs.
Colossians 1, 26 and 27.
I stand at the door now.
That
open
is awesome.
The door.
Yeah, so these kind of out there people, they kind of equated the mystic, or the person who really encounters God, more equated to like a poet or an artist, more eccentric, but they're really probably the most closely walking with Christ, really, honestly.
It's like normal is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're actually more normal.
Really.
Yeah, that's what normal is.
Okay. So a contemporary mystic, Reverend Howard Thurman, anybody heard of him?
I don't know.
He's from 1900 to 1981. So he describes an encounter he had. "I work at preparing my mind, my spirit, for the moment when God comes to himself in me." That's kind of interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He already knows Christ well, so he's like, I'm having Christ come to himself. "When it happens, I experience his presence. When this experience becomes an object of thought and reflection, it is then that my mind creates dogmas, creeds, and doctrines. These are the creations of the mind. The religious experience and encounter is always current, always fresh. In it, I hear his voice in my own tongue and in accordance with the grain of my own wood. In that glorious and transcendent moment, it may easily seem to me that all there is God." And then he talks about kind of the two things that he describes that faith teaches us for these encounters. Faith teaches a man that God is. The human spirit has two fundamental demands that must be met to relate to God. First, God must be vast, limitless, transcendent, all-comprehensive. And the second demand is that God be personal, intimate. So man has to have a sense of being careful. So he brings us together. When Jesus prayed, he was conscious that in his prayer, he met the presence, and this consciousness was far more important and significant than the answering his prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It is for this reason primarily that God was for Jesus the answer to all the issues and the problems of life. And he goes on to say, "When I, with my mind and heart, truly seek God and give myself in prayer, I too meet his presence. And then I know for myself that Jesus was right.
Right.
So good.
Yeah. And it, maybe when he was talking about the first kind of demand we need and then the second one, it's like, you know, you're right. He needs to be all powerful, but he also has to be so intimate.
Right.
And then his presence comes and you just...
I think people sometimes just stay at the all powerful part.
Yeah.
And that seems like maybe a place of humility because he's all powerful and then,
yes.
you know, but that's not a complete story.
Yes. Because that's kind of, I think that's where Jesus was. It's like he's in the garden and he's, he knows God's all powerful, but it's like, yeah, I know you're here.
But
he's, you're with me.
But he's meeting him from a place of sonship.
Right.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Dr. Barbara Holmes, she kind of talks about how we receive our receptivity. Holiness is a concept that makes ordinary people nervous.
Yes.
The holiness, the concept of holiness makes ordinary people nervous. The holiness that Jesus describes has less to do with pious character traits and more to do with the hosting of God's abiding presence.
There you go.
That's
right.
So good.
That's it.
That is it. Say it one more time.
The holiness that Jesus describes has less to do with pious character traits and more to do with the hosting of God's abiding presence. And she talks about receptivity. Receptivity is not just a cognitive exercise, but rather the involvement of the intellect and our senses with a spiritual union and oneness with God. So it's our senses and our intellect. And then when you get to that place, those moments carry with you the potential for mystical encounters. And so she describes C.S. Lewis attempted to describe one of these events. It's kind of weird. So this is C.S. Lewis. I felt as if I were a man of snow at long last beginning to melt. The melting was starting at my back, drip, drip, and presently trickle, trickle. I rather dislike the feeling.
Okay, do it one more time.
That was C.S. Lewis. He's trying to describe this experience with God. He felt like a man of snow that at long last beginning to melt. The melting was starting in my back, drip, drip, and presently trickle, trickle. I rather dislike the feeling. It reminds me of Bill Johnson talking about his that one night encounter where it was like electricity.
Yeah.
It kept him up all night. And he describes it wasn't a pleasant feeling.
Right.
But from that moment on, he knew he was connected.
Right.
And he... That's what that name reminded me of.
Yeah.
So I think at the most mature levels, our common goal with having presence in the, you know, in having that conscious understanding and connection with the indwelling spirit is that we're in union with all beings and God. And Jesus came to reveal that, that God's presence is in all of us. And the last mystic I'll go with is actually, she's a female mystic. Jerina Lee. She was born in 1783 and died in 1864. She was the first authorized woman preacher in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And her, I won't go into a lot of it, but her biography talks about when she was hearing God's voice. At the time, you know, women weren't allowed to preach,
mm-hmm.
and she was African American on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So her mystical encounter gave her this courage to call him to preach.
There you go.
So this is what she wrote. An impressive silence fell upon me, and I stood as if someone was about to speak to me. To my utter surprise, there seemed to sound a voice which I thought was distinctly heard and most certainly understood, which said to me, "Go preach the gospel."
Mm-hmm.
I immediately replied out loud, no one will believe me. Again I listened, and again the same voice seemed to say, "Preach the gospel. I will put the words in your mouth, and you will turn your enemies to become your friends."
Wow.
So, kind of our ultimate goal with, I think, as I'm going to come wrap it up, our ultimate goal with becoming aware of our union with Christ is that it's not for our own sake. It's not the end-all, be-all. It's actually to empower us to share the love of Christ with others. Mm-hmm. The quote here is that, and if we don't share it, we'll be given, unless we share the love we've been given, we'll become spiritually constipated.
Mm.
All right.
Yes. So it is our calling as faithful believers to recognize the Christ in everyone.
Yeah, so good. Good word, Dee.
Right.
Good
some
word.
Some of the early mystics, that's what they did. They became like hermits. But then you had the other ones that went around, you know, and then just releasing what God had given them.
Yes, the early kind of mystics went to convents and abbeys and monasteries, and that's
right.
They cultivated there. But more modern times, it's actually sharing it.
So share an experience.
Oh, good one, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what we're about. We'll go around the room and share.
We'll go around the room and share.
Yeah.
Mine is, I was kind of in a meditative state with God, and he decided to bring up an experience I had as a child. And I had a lot of unforgiveness for this other person in this experience. And ultimately, as he led me through the experience, I was able to forgive this person and kind of see the situation from their angle. But in the midst of all that, God revealed that he was actually there with me the whole time.
Okay, so were you like actively going into a meditative state?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actively meditating.
Okay.
But there have been other times where, you know, I'm just at work and I'm just kind of going about my business, and you just kind of like, I don't know, you just, it's like a, almost like a warm feeling inside for
mm-hmm.
another person,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It's like
those little things.
Awareness comes to the forefront, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, In fact, I would just pull on that just for everybody here. It's like sometimes we think that time has to be this, you know, monumental thing that you write about in the book that everybody goes, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just a moment mm-hmm. where you feel he's here, and you learn to just pause and connect with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be just a time. And it might not have a message other than you're loved.
Right.
Or there might not be a word, but just learning to pause and enjoy him and connect with him. And sometimes it's weird for me. I've had that experience in my office at work where I wouldn't say I set it up to connect with them. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
like, okay, put on the worship music and close
mm-hmm.
the doors. It was just, you know, you're paying attention to your senses. You're learning to listen.
Right.
And even in a busy environment, it's like, oh, wow. And just
mm-hmm.
learning to, in the middle of noise, you can find it. So sometimes it's not always a deep meditative state.
Right.
You know?
Well, with me, when I first started stepping into this, I was after reading Bill Johnson's book, Close in the Presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just go through the day just thinking about him, just thinking about God, and just trying to stay focused, whether I was praying in tongues or singing a song or whatever, but try to actively just keep him on my mind throughout the day. And then if I would like, you know, deviate from it, I would just bring myself right back. And so it started out with praying in tongues. I would just pray in tongues through the day, quietly.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving the kids nuts on long drives because they had me in the car going.
I know, Sophie's like, she has a thing about noises. She's like, oh my God.
Anyway, so I forget how long I did that. And then so what happened was, I could be at work, like Daniel was saying, and you got all this stuff going on around you. And I'd be sitting there and not really actively thinking about him. I would just like be reading something to do for work. And then all of a sudden, here comes the presence of the Holy Spirit. For me, it was like electricity, like tingling, just just like, oh man, that's so awesome.
That's amazing.
And yeah, so and so that's how it started with me. And so anyway, so so it progressed to something, I forget when this was, maybe a couple of years ago. One day I decided I'm just gonna pray the whole day. I'm gonna just pray in the spirit. So I'm out in the field, it's quiet, and I'm just, and it's, I mean, actually it's noisy throughout the whole plant. So I'm out there just all day long, I'm, you know, actively just praying in tongues. And so I'm driving home, and then I start praying again. And then I said, Lord, I guess I just need to shut up. Did you want to tell me something or show me something? And then all of a sudden, in my mind's eye, and so I'm driving, the road's ahead of me and all that. In my mind's eye, I see myself in this chariot. And then I'm zooming across the sky in this chariot. And I'm like freaking out, like, because I'm driving, but yet in my mind's eye, I'm seeing myself in this chariot. Then I'm entering into space, and I see stars and planets just zooming by me like, whoa, man, this is crazy. And then at some point, the chariot stops like in the middle of the universe. This is the impression I got. It was in the middle of the universe. And as I'm staying in that one place, the middle of the universe, I see part of God's face, like about maybe just cheek and nose. I could see his face, and it was like luminous and white. And I'm like,
that's
wow.
Awesome.
And I said, Lord, can I touch you? And I reached over.
Wow.
And then I was back on the road.
That's amazing.
I think I will encourage everybody with that, what you just said there about was the intentional thing of
right.
God, what do you want to say?
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Because for years, Darla would ask me, what's God saying to you? And I would say, nothing. And she would come on in, you know, and I said, look, he might talk to you. He's not talking to me. And I would get angry about it. And I'm a believer, and I'm thinking, I kind of had this attitude, if he wants to talk to me, he can talk to me, you know? But the truth was, I wasn't stopping to listen. I wasn't stopping to ask. I wasn't saying, I want to hear your voice. It's like, I just figured, you know, I've got a busy life, and I'm doing all these things, and if you want to bust into my life, bust away.
That's the more cognitive.
That's up
logical.
Here, but the truth is,
it's always talking.
The intimate encounter, it takes a pause, and you, there's an intentional part on you. God's always wanting
yeah,
to talk
it,
to you.
It
to
takes,
step into the encounter.
It takes practice.
Yeah.
And so one of the first things that I learned from, I was watching videos, this one guy, what's his name, Mark, I can't remember his last name, but Mark, I watched him on a video, and he said he was a Baptist. And so he started learning about intimacy and about wanting to just make a connection with God. And so what he learned, and that's what I started doing, the same thing he did, he encouraged to journal. So he would spend X amount of time praying, and after the prayer time, he would open up his journal, sit in front of it, and then just go, okay, Papa, what do you want to tell me now? And
yeah.
So I started doing that, and it started like with maybe two or three words.
Mm-hmm.
And then as time went on, probably within a couple of weeks, I was writing whole pages of things that God was saying.
I was just curious if anybody else had a like an encounter like what we're talking about that you want to share.
Well, yeah, just a couple of days ago, I was had some turmoil about something that happened to me as a child, and I've had this many times, and I went in there and I was able to forgive that person.
Wow.
And moved on.
And that was an intentional.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
You took some time, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Did you just like go back in your imagination or?
I went back in time.
Yeah.
That sounds like what you were saying about, and like going back and, I don't know, seeing that, visualizing it, wherever you want to see it, and where God is in that moment and what he's releasing, huh?
Dave, I know you have some.
Sure. You know what? I don't. I guess this falls in that time. I think I brought this up the last time I was here when I was in church. And I saw Jesus, I saw my dad's face. I don't know if I told you guys about that.
I don't remember.
But I always wondered. He probably went to hell because he didn't believe in God. That's all I remember. When I was a kid, I heard him say, now there's no such thing as God, you know, and I stuck. Even though I was never raised, you know, around anyone who went to church or anything. But I saw, I'm deep in praise and worship, and I just, stuff was moving around. I could see a vision. It was like a misty thing moving, and there was Jesus. There was my father's face, my dad's face. He was looking at me, just smiling, and I've never seen him smile, you know, when he was alive.
Wow.
And then he moved on. There was four other faces that came to me, and they just kept coming to me, and then they'd go away, they'd come to me. And I'm thinking, who is this? But all of a sudden I realized, and I fell flat in the seat, and I told Nina, I told my wife, I said, I just saw my dad, I saw Jesus, and I said, I seen four faces. I said, I was trying to figure out who they are. But anyway, the next day, that was on my mind, you know. And then the next day, next morning, I said, all right, God, tell me, what was all of that about? And instantly, I'm sitting there, right? It's morning, it's light.
At home.
At home, my eyes are open. All of a sudden, I was taken back to the hospital where, when he had the stroke, this is several years before, he had a stroke. And they called us, you better come, you know. And so we went in the room, it was me and my wife and my mom. He's laying flat on his back, and it wasn't moving. And then, of course, you know, you go over there and you try to talk to him and pray, but, you know, he was just, I don't know. So we go sit down and we're talking amongst us, and I look over at his bed. He's still laying on his back, but his arm is straight in the air. So he's, you know, he's laying down. I said, hey, look at Dad. And we started to laugh about it a little bit, you know. And then all of a sudden, I was brought back to where I was sitting there, and I said, oh, my God, thank you. We didn't know it. He was
right?
That's so good.
The angels, the four faces I seen that morning in church was the angels that escorted him or talked to him. His hand went in the air and we didn't know it at the time.
Wow.
God's telling me that's when he received Jesus.
That's awesome.
Those years later, we witnessed him being taken,
receiving.
His soul receiving,
yeah.
You know, and didn't even know it.
So good. Yeah.
So
demystifying.
That's fun.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Demystifying mystics.
Right.
So I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. Congratulations that we're all mystics and that we have encounters with you. We know our union with you, and we can take that union and spread it among other people. We see that we're connected to you in the love and the power that comes with that. Amen.
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 Yay. Yay. That was fun.